Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, this morning, welcome to Be the Edge Challenge Call. I'm Kevin, and glad you guys are with us today. The subject is this subject this morning would be a full semester. This is the second core belief of a biblical worldview. We talked about one last week, and that was the inerrancy of Scripture. That was the first core belief, and really everything's built on that. If Scripture is not inerrant, then what are we going to believe, and why do we believe any of it actually in the long run? But this one, the second core belief, is the sinless nature of Christ, and this is typically a semester-long course in seminary. So we're just going to breeze through it real quickly here just to get a foundation and to make this available later on our video stuff. So we're gonna do it with us, guys. But Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." See, Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life on this earth, and he remains perfect. Jesus is simultaneously 100% God and 100% man. Here's your theology today. The term for that is the hypostatic union, meaning Jesus was fully God and fully man. Several factors go into understanding this. One is the virgin birth. Isaiah 7:14 tells us, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew 1:20 says, "Joseph, son of David," this is the angel speaking to him, "don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Jesus wasn't conceived by a sinful man, but by the perfection of the Holy Spirit. This allowed him to be born sinless. Sin's been passed down through man since Adam because Adam sinned. Romans 5 tells us, "Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world," Adam, "and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Since Jesus was born and remained sinless, he could then offer the gift of righteousness to all through his righteousness. Romans 5, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life with the one, Jesus Christ." From birth to the cross, Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life because of how he dealt with the sin around him. So he was born sinless, then he lived a sinless life. He fought sin perfectly through the use of prayer, the word, and seeking God's will entirely. However, he understands our dilemma with sin and its struggles because he too faced those. We saw that in that Hebrews passage. Only on the cross was sin a part of Jesus. And this is fascinating to me. I don't know if we'll ever fully understand. That wasn't even his own sin, right? It was ours. Corinthians 5 says, "For he," God the Father, "made him who knew no sin," Jesus, "to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Somehow, when Jesus became sin for us, God the Father turned his back on God the Son, even for a moment, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God couldn't look on the sin. Because Jesus loves us, he came born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, and died the death we should have so that we could trade our sin for his righteousness and receive the gift of salvation. This comes from Love Worth Finding Ministries. So how that truth looks on us if we is that we don't drag around like 100 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick. We live as forgiven, redeemed, and restored children of the King. He who knew no sin, it said, became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. So as Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, "Go and sin no more, and let's all go out there and be the edge." Thanks, guys.
Great message, guys.